In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst.
He was, is, and always shall be.
We glorify God who has brought us together as co-servants. It's a great honor to be a servant of God, and we're called co-servants, as we heard in the gospel reading, simuli, together serving. And the Lord teaches us today in the Holy Gospel that in order to be able to offer forgiveness to our co-servants, we need to be able to be thankful for the forgiveness that we receive from our Master, who is very glad to give it. Christ says, not to fear, because and he speaks to us as children, he says, do not fear, children, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He has made it as much ours as it is his. This is a profuse love of God. And Christ, when he talks about the sinful woman who entered the house of Simon and wiped his feet with her tears and poured out her costly ointment to honor him, Christ says to Simeon, to Simon, that the one who is able to love more is the one who is forgiven more. And we're all forgiven. When we ask the Master, as it says, our Master is compassionate. The makrothymison word doesn't only mean be patient with me. It's distanced from anger. Be distant from anger with me. Can we forgive as well as God forgives? We really need God to be able to strengthen us to do that. But to be able to forgive from our heart is what Christ says is the only way that we can receive forgiveness. But he initiated this forgiveness, because while he was about to sell this man and his family, all the man had to do was ask. And the Lord was very compassionate. He felt moved from the depths to be compassionate. And even though the fellow servant owed the one who was forgiven lifetime's worth of debt a lot less, he wasn't willing. And so it's kind of surprising that the Lord, who says that the one who is forgiven more loves more. But he wasn't paying attention to this forgiveness. And we can overlook that by looking at the things that have hurt us. But I was thinking that in this very room, gather people who have survived war, survived abuse, survived persecution, exile, slander, extortion, have gathered or are gathering in this very room. What does this gospel mean? That we're all called to do that? How is that possible? Well, forgiveness doesn't mean to say that what happened is all right. Saint Stephen said in his final words, as he kneels down before giving up his spirit, as he is being stoned to death, he cries in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." He didn't say it was all right. He called it a sin. But he said, "Do not hold this against them." And that's a beautiful thing, to not hold it against them, to not associate them or identify them with this sin. Don't make it stick. Sometimes when we're wronged, we get so overwhelmed that we look at this one person and that's all we see. Not the beloved of God, not the creature of God, but we see the sin. But Saint Stephen taught us not to hold this sin against them. As I said at the beginning, we're called co-servants. And our God and our Savior, our Creator, humbled himself and became a co-servant with us. This is the bridegroom of the church, the one who calls himself the bridegroom, the one who says that his yoke is easy. The yoke that attaches him to us, we say sizygos, as a spouse in Greek, meaning the one who's yoked with us, like the animals plowing. But God was humble enough to call himself the co-yoked with us. My yoke is easy, and he is co-laboring with us. And he offered forgiveness and was ready to forgive on the cross those who were torturing him and mocking him and slandering him. And saying that if he saved others, let him save himself. But he even died to show us that he was defeating even that. Even the worst of sins, he is bigger than that. He won. He won. So to forgive from our heart, meaning our whole spiritual self, not just words, but our whole spiritual self. I learned today that in order to make an offering in the Jewish law, it was not acceptable to offer a strangled animal. And then we heard in the gospel that the unforgiving servant grabbed his co-servant by the neck. And of course, his offering would not be acceptable to God. And this calls to mind that Christ says that before you put an offering on the altar, you must reconcile with your brother. My grandmother said that she used to have to go to her godparents and to her elders and ask for forgiveness before receiving communion every time. And we do that. We kind of build that in. The priests, when you see them bow to you, are asking for your forgiveness. That's an act of receiving forgiveness from you. In the service of Keros, at the very beginning, we also bow before getting vested. That we're in a community of offering and giving forgiveness, to witness that our lives become different because we're participants of Christ, in the life of Christ, who loves us, who was a co-servant with us, and who forgave us lifetimes worth of debt and calls us all to do that from our hearts with others. And we may ask, well, the beautiful thing about the Master is that he forgave the people who asked. But there are people, in my experience, who have hurt me badly and have not asked me for forgiveness or have said anything. But I'm still called to forgive them. How is that possible? The person who honked furiously at me and raged and cursed at me while driving because I wasn't fast enough and then disappeared didn't ask me for forgiveness? But I can't enter into the kingdom of heaven unless I am ready to forgive him from my heart. All of the things that you might have endured and forgiven, you're here. God is working. When we do not forgive, we prevent ourselves from participating in the Lord's banquet. The older brother of the son who had gone to a foreign land, after the son returns, having wasted his father's inheritance, he goes into this, the father dresses him with the best cloth, he puts on the ring, he kills the fatted calf, and the older brother refuses to go in. Again, putting up a barrier to be able to receive the love of God. And when we don't forgive our brother from our heart, then we don't see that the banquet and the forgiveness is also for us. There was a priest, Elder Epiphanios, who said, my heart has only entrances. It has no exits. Whoever enters remains there, no matter what he does. I love him the same as when he first entered my heart. I pray for his salvation. I think this is a great reflection on the forgiving from the heart, that whoever comes into our life is always there. And to forgive from our hearts, and we've had this beautiful experience to be able to look at one another and say, brothers and sisters, forgive me the sinner. And to know that there's no exit from the heart. And the man who honked at you furiously entered your heart and is always there. What do we do in our heart? We have to make space always for God, to know that he forgives us when we ask, and to share that joy and anticipation even with those who do not appear to be repenting, because that is how God will strengthen us. That is where life is. It bears repeating to talk about the man whose child was murdered, and when asked, how can you possibly talk about forgiveness? He says, if I didn't forgive the murderer, I would be allowing him to kill me too. So this is where life is, that we can enter the kingdom, we can make our offering, we can participate in the banquet when we receive this joy of forgiveness. I'm so thankful that God has put all of you in my heart and in the heart of my family. And I'm very thankful that he has put us in your heart. And there are no words to express the greatness of the glory of God, who transforms us from day to day. But I hope that you and I will always continue rejoicing in the house of the Lord, rejoicing in the mystery of confession and communion, and rejoicing that our hearts are always together, glorifying Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever and unto the ages of ages.